Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. Did you happen to catch the story on CNN recently about some guy who discovered 158 bowling balls that were buried under the house he was getting ready to demolish? That's right, 158 balls. It was sort of like uncovering the tomb of the unknown bowling balls. I tell you, that is one heck of a startling discovery. Years from now, archaeologists from all over the world are going to be chuckling over this one. And they'll probably be arguing over the cultural significance of such an amazing find. Was there some ancient god like Brunswick the All-Powerful who was being honored in this secret temple of bowling? We may never know, my friends. But this news report brings up all sorts of memories from my own early days. And for that, I think we need some special bowling music to set the stage for the story I'm about to tell. What do you think? Ah, perfect. As always, the names and places in this tale have been changed to protect the innocent. Well, when I was growing up, the only people I knew in my immediate family who were avid bowlers were my Uncle Steve and maybe my Uncle Hal. But both of them lived about a half hour away, so I wasn't really in on the action. I did know that my Uncle Steve was a member of a bowling league, so he was pretty serious about the sport. And you know, there were folks in my hometown who also thought of bowling as a religion. They went to worship every week in the First Church of the Holy Rollers bowling alley. We even had a small store in town run by the Bolinski brothers that sold nothing but bowling balls. There you could get any color bowling ball under the sun. It's sort of like Earl Scheib. I'll paint any ball, any color, for just $99.99. Well, friends, growing up in an environment like that, it was only natural that me and my friends would decide one day to find out what this strange cult was all about. Usually we'd just go out cruising on a Friday night. But one time, as we were driving around the scenic highways and byways of New Jersey, one of the guys suggested we stop in at a local bowling alley and do a few frames. This was a new and novel thought, something that was way out of our league, pun intended. And so that's how we wound up in the Barnacle Lanes establishment of scenic downtown Asbury Park, New Jersey. Most of us, you understand, were total rookies. In fact, the only prior experience I had was when my old man found some old discarded bowling pins and set them up in our driveway for me to play with, using a soft rubber punch ball. You can imagine how that turned out. But thankfully, at least one of the guys in our group knew enough about the sport to guide us through the process of renting shoes, picking a lane, and most importantly, tanking up before the big game. You see, in our crowd, having a few beers was a mandatory requirement of the game. In fact, if I could make an analogy here, bowling and beer were so intertwined, it was sort of like dancing the polka. You weren't going to be a world champion unless you had a few under your belt. Of course, when it came to keeping score, that proved to be a bit of a problem. Now, since I'm rather numerically challenged myself to begin with, our score sheet usually looked like a bunch of chicken scratches from a deranged rooster. So there we were in Barnacle Lanes, Bert, Ike, Chip, Joey, and myself, on our maiden voyage to achieve the nirvana of bowling superstardom. Little did we know how impossible that goal would be. Well, as luck would have it, we picked a lane next to a group of girls who seemed rather chatty and friendly. They were having a girls' night out, and it looked like they were getting rather tanked themselves. So as the night wore on, one of the girls got rather chummy with Bert, and the two of them decided to make a friendly wager. She bet us $50 that they could out-bowl us, with the loser picking up the cost, the shoes, the bar tab, and all. Seemed like a reasonable bet at the time. Well, we soon discovered that we were no match for these highly skilled, though slightly intoxicated, Amazons of the bowling world. You've heard of pool sharks? Well, these girls were definitely bowling sharks, no two ways about it. As the contest continued, it became obvious who was going to win the bet. The highlight of my evening was when I discovered I possessed an uncontrollable left hook that sent my ball bouncing over two nearby lanes. So when our guys finally realized that we were going to get totally pulverized by these girls, we somehow concocted the scheme of slipping out one by one to visit the restroom. We blamed it on a bad batch of French fries that we'd gotten from the bowling alley snack bar. And before you knew it, we were all outside in the parking lot, desperately hoping that none of the girls would catch on to our little ploy. We quickly scrambled into my old Pontiac Bonneville, fired up the engine, and headed out onto the highway, slinking away into the night, totally embarrassed and rather humbled in the realization that we were no kingpins of the bowling lanes, and probably never would be. Of course, that didn't stop us from going out on any future bowling adventures. We simply vowed not to make any more crazy bets with pretty strangers, no matter how amateur and innocent they might seem at first glance. And looking back at the episode now in retrospect, this being New Jersey, I guess we could count ourselves lucky that these Amazon bowling alley hustlers didn't have leather-jacketed boyfriends who would seek us out to even up the score. Otherwise, we might have wound up buried under a house somewhere in Jersey City, pushing up daisies with those 158 bowling balls. You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time. Hi, this is Tom Nielsen. If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.